left-handed scrum, but the Leafs control the faceoff. Nylander working it off to the left wing side to Matthews, down into the corner. It comes now to Tavares. Back to the far side to Marner. Marner to Matthews, he scores! Holy mackinaw, what a bullet! 2-0 Toronto! Austin Matthews makes it 2-0!
Hey, Leafs Nation post-game, Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick alongside me, and we are basking in the afterglow of not just a win in Game 1, not just a big Leafs win, but a big Leafs shutout win in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Leafs go up, getting ahead of myself. Not the Cup Finals yet, the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Leafs take a 1-0 series lead, 5-0 is the final. Gordo, as you could tell, I'm a little excited. I imagine you are too.
Well, you're not alone. You're not alone. And you know what? I bet you post-game around Leafs Nation, not just the people in the building, because, man, we just said, like, let's bring this building down, and this building sounded like a Toronto Raptor game. I mean, that's what we've been looking to happen. And it was a crowd like you haven't heard most games or playoff games. So hopefully that can keep going. They gave them lots to cheer about. Then you have those outside as well in Jurassic Park. And they'll probably shut down a few intersections, honest to God, on University Avenue. I don't mean like tear the city down. I just mean people are so pumped, as they should be, because just what the doctor ordered in so many ways, particularly to try to get a fresh start from such a dismal, bitter, ugly, unfortunate finish last year. And man, this would be it. Now, we got to keep perspective. It's one game. It's one game. That's, being fans or being media quite often, you might lose that. You got to win four to win a whole series. But, man, what a game.
It was incredible. There's so much to pick on, so many different guys to highlight. I mean, off the tip of my tongue, Mitch Marner, man, what a game for him. But I think we have to start with the kind of momentum-turning thing that happened early on in this game. Kyle Clifford gets dinged, and rightfully so, for 5 in a game for his hit from behind. And we've talked about the special teams for this team all year long. And yeah, the power play is great. But man, what a kill that was. And it just gave the building life. It gave the team life. And, I was worried at the end that Tampa was going to like squeak one through with 2 seconds left in the power play. Campbell was great. The penalty killers did their job. It's amazing what a kill like that early on in a game did to the building, did to the team, and did to the game itself.
Well, they got their first PK, about less than 2 minutes into the game for starters. Then you get that 5-minute one, and you're right. I mean, I feel bad for Kyle Clifford. He had a really unfortunate minor penalty in a third period of a regular season game in the offensive zone. He's really trying to make an impression, and he'd made one or two really good hits just before that, but that third hit, it's not what Nazem Kadri did, okay? You don't quite go there, but man, like he's got to be in the dressing room. He's got to be so thrilled that he dodged a bullet and he's not the storyline of the 5-minute major. Tampa Bay, Brent, the last, as we know, one of the wins was against the Maple Leafs. Last 10 days of the season, they just went and kicked ass. Their power play is something at 47% over that period of time. So you're thinking, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And no, to your point, the PK, not just that penalty, but the first minor penalty and that was a strength for Toronto. They end up getting a shorthanded goal. So, that was one of the first parts that they beat Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay are the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. I know that, but they beat them tonight at every facet of the game.
That was it. And, even the areas that you would have said, okay, well, Tampa's going to win that matchup. Nope, they didn't have the better goalie tonight. I'm not pouring dirt on Vasilevsky and saying he won't bounce back or anything like that. But tonight, we always talk about it. You'd love the Leafs to win a goaltending matchup, and that is exactly what happened tonight. Campbell wasn't called on to be all that spectacular all that often, but he was perfect, and you literally can't do any better than that. It is so funny, right? They get that kill at the beginning, and yeah, like the Leafs have a really scary power play, but so do the Lightning, and there's easily a world where it's 2-3-0 after that 5-minute advantage, but you kill it off, you run back, and then, we always talk about these late in the period goals and how much they can kind of swing momentum. You know, it wasn't the last, you know, 30 seconds like we always think of with that, but coming off the back of those big kills, Jake Muzzin, he gets one. And, you know, okay, Jake Muzzin isn't quite Ilya Lyubushkin in terms of, oh my God, he scored. Can you believe it? But think about what this guy's been through this year. Think about what this guy means to that team and him being the guy to kind of, you know, break through for the Leafs and get them on the board in the playoffs. And then the fact that it came at the end of the first period, it was just another shot to the arm when their play had already given them so many.
Well, particularly after killing that 5-minute penalty off and still 0-0. So you're saying, okay, all this stuff's great, but it doesn't matter if you lose the game. And if Tampa Bay scores that first goal, you know, ouch. And so Jake Muzzin, Mikheyev did his best to deflect it. Didn't, but tried his best. And maybe that was a bit of a distraction to Vasilevskiy. But yeah, you're happy for Muzzin because that's not his forte. It's other things that are more his forte. And just a shot on goal got them going. And they really, really took it from there. And I mentioned there was one regular season game where they scored 6 on Vasilevskiy. And I thought that was one that was good heading for the playoffs because this guy's been infallible against a lot of teams. And I say that because he's played excellent. I'm just thinking off the top of my head because everything's got messed up with COVID world. And last year, you never played the Tampa Bay Lightning when you're in the Canadian division. But I just remember nobody has played better the last 5 years, no opposing goaltender on a consistent basis against the Toronto Maple Leafs than Andrei Vasilevskiy.
No, he's the guy. I mean, you know, Shesterkin has obviously vaulted himself there this year, but in terms of specifically games against the Leafs, yeah, I mean, he's been terrifying. Obviously, you didn't have to put up with him all last year because there was no Vasilevskiy in the Canadian division, but yeah, he's been the guy you kind of circle. You know, just bouncing around here, obviously, we're going to talk about the big boys here. Mitch Marner with an incredible, incredible game. Auston Matthews, same goes for him, but I actually want to mention the guy who got bumped up to be the third piece on that line. No Michael Bunting, so it was Kerfoot tonight. And, you know, going back to last year's playoffs, he was one of the few bright spots you had that you felt like he really, you know, played above his level last year against the Canadiens. But man, oh man, Kerfoot once again just looked shot out of a cannon to start this game. And, you know, I'm not saying he's a playoff performer proven because he, you know, he's a point per game guy. It just feels to me like he just looks like a different player. He's just able to, we always talk about flip the switch, and it felt like he was a guy who could do that tonight. And, you know, obviously it's a little easier doing that when you're playing with guys like Matthews and Marner. But once again, I thought Kerfoot really, really looked strong in his playoff. Well, not debut, but this year.
Yeah. It's funny when they're in the bubble, remember he had that one exhibition game, kind of a nondescript, and he scored twice in that. I mean, that was a game that didn't really matter. So maybe we'll add that a little playoff cachet. You know what else was, you know, him and Marner, that I think it was like in the first 11 or 12 minutes, you're talking that minor and that major, they had to kill penalties for 7 out of the first 11, 12 minutes. So a guy like Auston Matthews wasn't getting on the ice. And that I was worried about, you start losing that flow, right? You know, you want to keep lines going, get your best player on the ice. But Kerfoot was a real solid part of that PK. But more importantly, with Bunting out, I mean, he really seized that opportunity. And you really saw, I mean, Tampa Bay's got all kinds of skill. They got all kinds of speed. I mean, it's not like, you know, the Leafs are going to kill him in that department. But Kerfoot's a guy with a lot of speed, and he really got to utilize it tonight.
Yeah, that he just fit in with those guys, and I'll give him credit there. You know, I was banging the drum. We were doing our preview show, yeah, yesterday. That was saying, man, how do you find somebody to fit in Michael Bunting's spot? And Kerfoot more than excelled in that way. And yeah, maybe who knows? Maybe the fact that he had to do all that penalty killing early on, it just kind of sucks you into the game a little bit more. But yeah, you loved what you got out of him there. Mitch Marner, we got to talk about this guy. You know, we've talked about him so much leading into it. And is there too much pressure? Does he wear too much of the blame? Well, he's wearing a ton of the success after tonight, because I don't know who they named the first star. He's as good a look as any in my book. He gets the incredible goal that he dekes Vasilevskiy from the slot, picks up a couple of assists, including one where he takes a big hit. He just never looked, you know, afraid at any moments in this game, even as the physicality crept up. If there was anybody out there who was wondering what version of Mitch Marner you were getting, sign me up for plenty more games of that, please.
So was that his first playoff goal since 1967? Do I have that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
What
he's
it was?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
I don't even know if his parents were born in 1967. Okay, I'm not gonna. Well, I'm always gonna visit it because I get annoyed about people saying he gets too much blame. That's that you know, and I know that's elements of the people close to Marner or Mitch himself feels that, and that's a crock. You know, that's a crock. That the fans were flat out just unhappy, as they should be, with the performance of the team in the playoffs the last couple of years. The elite players were the ones that led the way and not leading the way. So. I just want to put that to bed, and a play, you know, this more games like this will put it to bed. But tonight he was phenomenal. He absolutely was the first star of the game. I always talk about that. He actually had phenomenal playoff series against the Bruins. One of those two seasons, like a phenomenal playoff series. So it's not like he's not had, you know, solid playoff series before. And, you know, Austin Matthews, who really didn't have the same level as Mitch Marner did, because Mitch kills penalties. So got a lot more ice time. In the Mike Babcock era, where ice time for younger players was harder to come by, you know, he also has the big game tonight. But Mitch Marner was the guy. He was the straw that stirred the drink. He was all those cliches, you know, where you got Stamkos and Kucherov and Point, and you know, so many players of excellence, including on your side, Matthews and Tavares and Nylander. He was the guy.
Yeah, he was incredible. And, you know, again, I go back to it. It's if he didn't have a point tonight, if he would have just done all the things he was doing on the penalty kill and being the player he was, it was exactly the type of game you've wanted out of him. You throw in all the production, and yeah, it's that first power play goal, or sorry, first playoff goal in what seemingly is forever. And you know, you talk about the ice time there. Obviously, you know, a 5-0 game with all the shorthanded and power play time you have, it does kind of throw things out of whack. Austin Matthews, under 17 minutes tonight. Now, again, all the penalty kill time, the fact that you're up 5 early, the fact that the game got a little hairy later on, all that plays in. But, you know, I know we dumped on Babcock for that, but I think if you're Sheldon Keefe, the fact that you only used Matthews for 17 minutes, one, that's not going to be the case. He's going to play way more than that in game two. But two, you've now got your best guy, you know, just that little bit fresher than maybe he would have been. So, I mean, obviously you want Matthews and Marner playing more, but the way the game kind of shook out tonight, it was kind of the best of both worlds, where they're feeling good, they get to produce, but you don't necessarily tax them too heavily. And not that they can't handle it, but at this time of year, any rest is so useful.
Yeah, it's not like going back to Babcock's era, where it was a head-scratcher because they lost by a goal or two to the Bruins, and Matthews had significantly less ice time. There was a reason behind it, and again, it starts off, yeah, at the end of the game, you could roll the four lines or the 3 2/3 that you had with Clifford being out of it. But early on, just that whole rhythm, which I'm glad they found it, just having to kill so many penalties. And they actually got some power plays too. And, you know, Ron, it was mentioned on the broadcast tonight, and I know talking to Coley Campbell, and it was mentioned on the broadcast tonight, something Gary Bettman's talked about. And, you know, Brent, because the last 2 years, again, because there were so many COVID distractions and things were just so different, you know, we kind of focused on that. And the NHL is very proud, and statistically speaking, it's been about 5 years now, they call more games, more penalties in the playoffs than the regular season. And there goes the argument that used to be about, and I still say, you know, it could be that maybe you still don't call enough penalties because maybe more are deserved in the playoffs. But their point well taken, because it used to be you had to create a federal crime to get a penalty in the playoffs, and there definitely was a second standard of officiating in the playoffs compared to the regular season. And hey, the evidence is there, and certainly tonight we saw it. They are calling penalties, and I'm glad they are. Good for them. They are calling penalties consistently in game number 83 like they did in the first 282.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know me. I'm quick to come on here and complain about a whistle I don't like. I thought there were some odd penalty calls tonight, but that wasn't necessarily always against the Leafs. You know, the two penalties that the Bolts got dinged on that gave the Leafs that 5-on-3, you know, either of them were a little ticky-tacky there, but there were certainly calls that went the other way that I didn't like as well. You know, it is interesting. It's funny. They did a good job of kind of keeping things tight and, you know, not being afraid to blow the whistle. And then the third period, it feels to me like, you know, again, not to nitpick here, but I guess that's what I'm about to do. You know, you've got Perry and Maroon you know, not jumping them, but holding, hooking. Those are all penalties. The things that they're saying, hey, fight me, Wayne Simmonds, and he's skating away from it. They don't want to call anything, and then all of a sudden you've got a line brawl here, and I hope Morgan Riley didn't break his hand at the end of this game. Oh. I'm not reporting that, but man, I don't like seeing him. Now, I did love seeing him feed Jan Ruda. I'm not going to lie about that. I don't like seeing him icing his hand and leaving the game. So you're right. There was a standard of officiating pretty early on in this game, but as it went, that was kind of a flashpoint moment to me that, hey, if you were really wanting to get ahead of this, you had your chance, and then we got a line brawl because you weren't able to when Wayne Simmonds was trying to be the bigger man at the end there.
Well, and the thing is, Wayne Simmonds laid a hard, clean hit on Victor Hedman. So,
awesome.
And I know, but in a game where you got that kind of lead, I'm not saying he shouldn't do it, but, you know, if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning, that's why they've won two Stanley Cups. It is a call to action. And, again, because they went to commercial break for a big part of it, you know, you really didn't see it all unfolding. And anyway, the thing that Kyle Clifford and Wayne Simmonds are hoping to provide for the Maple Leafs, and Clifford, of course, was out at that point. Wayne Simmonds certainly did, and the team certainly did. And I just, that's the one thing. You get hurt fighting. You especially get hurt nowadays when there's visors and the equipment, you know, it's not like it was before 20, 25 years ago. And putting ice on your hand is very common. When you fight, anybody here just go outside and start punching something that's, you know, comparable to a face or a shoulder or equipment, and you know the beating your hand will take. So I'm hoping that's not the case. We've seen it. I mean, Connor McDavid, how did that fight in junior hockey go for him? Not so well. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Dumba and a few others that, you know, get involved and you get hurt. And that's the problem with fighting. I loved him standing up, and you're right. I loved him winning the fight. I just hope at the end of the day he doesn't lose the fight.
Yeah, that's right. Keep the hands intact there, and man, it was some rough stuff at the end. And you know, just in terms of the physicality in total throughout this game, you know, so much was made of it heading in. Sheldon Keefe was saying he expected it to be a fairly violent series. Obviously, with Clifford's big lick early on, that kind of got the juices flowing that way. But, you know, we talked about the Leafs kind of matching up or exceeding the Lightning in every facet of this game, and I thought physicality was right there. I don't think they were going out of their way to making a point. I did think early on in the game, the Lightning were kind of running around and the Leafs hadn't answered. But, you know, you look at the end of that game, line brawl, Leafs are all right in it. There was a moment at the end where Engvall kind of had Hagel pushed up against the glass. And that's a moment where you say, "Ooh, wow, Pierre Engvall, 6'5". You're probably pretty scary to a lot of dudes out there. And I like to see that. So, you know, I don't think we need to make too much out of it. But I thought the Leafs definitely answered the bell in terms of the physicality of the game as well.
And you're right about Tampa Bay at one point had that edge, but the Leafs had it for more of the game. And again, you know, I don't speak for Kyle Dubas as much. I speak more in chatting with Brendan Shanahan. That's exactly. He doesn't ignore the physical part. That was a big part of his DNA when he played, Brendan Shanahan. Mm-hmm. But the toughness is when you got Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner and company, and they are coming at you like buzzsaws in your own zone. Okay, that's toughness. Never mind the physicality. That's toughness when you can't get the puck and they dominate the play and they score a goal. And that's always what, you know, Brendan Shannon has maintained is the way hockey is nowadays. It's more important, that kind of stuff nowadays. And I like that analogy that it can be the toughest team to play against. And, you know, we're talking about the funeral for Guy Lafleur tomorrow in Montreal. That era they won 4 Stanley Cups. Okay, that was Guy Lafleur didn't get many penalty minutes. That was team toughness when he was out there with Jacques Lemaire and Steve Shutt.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the case. And, you know, man, it is funny. I wonder how many members of Leafs Nation just think of Shanny as the guy in the suit. No, yeah, he's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. More than just a goal scorer, folks. I don't think anybody listening here needs to hear that. But, man, Brendan Shanahan certainly was very comfortable in games that felt like the end of this one. One other guy I wanted to touch on here, Andre Kasha. Back in the lineup, I was very skeptical about how this was going to go. You know, a guy who's been off for more than a month, he had the concussion issues, you're throwing him back, not just into game one of a playoff series, but you're throwing him right back into the top six. I thought there were a few little plays early on where it was just a guy who didn't kind of have his game speed up, but he finishes the night with a couple of assists. I thought he really looked just comfortable out there. And man, again, we he was somebody we talked about so much kind of before Mikheyev and Engvall really got going here this year. But man, if you can have Engvall and Mikheyev looking the way they did tonight and then throw Kasha into the mix as well, it just kind of adds to the depth. I really liked how he looked with Tavares.
Throw Kasha to the wind for a corny saying. Yes. But no, I, you know, there's really nothing we're going to pick apart and criticize with the Maple Leafs tonight. I mean, the Clifford unfortunate hit, but the good news is they killed off that 5 minutes major. But I was first really surprised that Kasha was ready, because you don't get any news nowadays about what a player's health stuff. Maybe Peter Mrazek starts the next game. I don't know. But I was pleased to hear that. And there was an element of doubt whether it would be game number one. And, you know, we've talked about it, Brent, all year long, the different flavors these new players bring, you know, starting with Bunting, you know, creating a lot of offense. And Kasha, yeah, it just, maybe there was a shift or two or three getting acclimated. I just like seeing him out there. I like what he brings to the table. And you really saw it tonight. Man, that was great that he could, you know, come back and play in game number one and play really well in game number one.
Yeah, I liked it as well. And then, just kind of looking ahead now. So Kyle Clifford, I've seen some people wondering if maybe there's a suspension coming there. I've long stopped wondering what's going to happen with the Department of Player Safety. We always say the calculation is basically one playoff game equals two in the regular season. So if you think that's a two-game suspension, maybe he gets one here. But you know, let's live in a world where Clifford's available next game, and he's not suspended. Based on the way it ended, do you think you have to go back and dress the same lineup? Do you have to dress the same lineup given how it went, even though Clifford was not really a factor in this game at all? What would you do going forward for game two here, Gord?
Well, we always do dissect too much the fourth line and the third defensive pair. I mean, I'm always not anxious. I always like to see Jason Spezza in the game, but I got to put bias aside. And I could see Sheldon Keefe just saying, look, the way the game went, we couldn't play a more perfect playoff game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm going to dress the same lineup if Kyle Clifford is available, which also is a show of support for Kyle Clifford making plays that he'll be out of the NHL if he makes those plays. He knows it. But and because of the history with Nazem Kadri and how those situations, particularly the second one, how they impacted the playoff series, it just brings these kind of flashbacks. Now, his was not to the same degree. So I could see one of those two things happening. But I think you got to keep Simmons in the lineup right now. You know, and then, again, if Tampa Bay goes down 2-0, I'm not saying Tampa Bay goes down 2-0, but just in general, either way, if it's 2-0 Toronto or 1-1, you kind of get a lot of the the guys who are supposed to fighting in the first two games. And then after that, it just gets a little harder to find those opportunities because you've kind of got that out of the way, and a different style without that quite often is what emanates.
Yeah, obviously the Lightning are going to worry the most about evening this series, and the Leafs will worry the most about kind of taking a 2-0 series lead. But I wouldn't be surprised if Maroon and Perry were sniffing around Simmons again, because I don't think they like that he skated away from that. And quite frankly, I don't think he liked that he did. I think it was the right move. You know, we think back to the whole Matthews Sherratt thing last year. But, you know, when you skate away and you're the bigger man and then all of a sudden there's a line brawl behind you, that's certainly not the way. So, yeah, I would imagine all three of those guys are would be interested in talking next game. Obviously, you take care of business there first and foremost. One other thing I do feel like, and look, I am so high on the Leafs after this game. How could you not be after the way they played? I will say I don't know that the Lightning can play a much worse game than that. You know, Stamkos had a one-timer open on the power play.
Yeah.
He completely fans on it. Vasilevsky, I'm not going to say he's not going to be that bad again, because we saw him be this bad a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, we also think of the money goaltender that he is. So, you know, the Leafs, they played great, and they can absolutely replicate this effort 3, 4, 5 more times. Who knows how many times they have to do it in this series, but don't sit there and think that that's the Lightning team you're going to see every single night, because that was a C game from them at best, it kind of felt like.
When Leafs were up 3-1 against Montreal last year, I could have lost all my money betting on a sure thing. If they're up 3-1 to Tampa Bay, I'm not betting.
No.
Even though, like, I picked the Maple Leafs to win this series. I picked them to win the Stanley Cup. I'm not trying to jinx them. But you got to play more like you did tonight. But it is the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, it's like in tennis playing Federer or Nadal or Djokovic. that you better get that final point, okay? Because whatever it may be, you know, you may have five set points, but until you finally get one, it's not over. When individuals or teams that know how to win, that is one intangible that the Leafs cannot get control of or get an advantage of in this series.
You went Federer, Nadal. I really thought you were going to say that. I was trying to like sneak it by Gord Stellick's backhand during triples tennis is really the
good
analogy
point.
I thought we
yes,
were going to get
good
there.
Good point.
Yeah. Gordo, anything else before we wrap up here tonight? I mean, I'm riding a big time high after this win. Of course, we'll be back down there when the series picks back up on Wednesday night. We'll have the game for you on City News 680. But anything else from you before we say goodbye tonight, Gord?
Well, it's kind of like that term, the perfection line, which is not a Leaf line, but it was like the perfection team tonight. Like I don't remember, Brent, the last playoff game like this. Okay, you know, they had good playoff games, but the last playoff game like this, and it's against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. And boy, when we're down there, keep it going, Leafs fans, the ones that are fortunate to be able to go to the game. I mean, make the building rock. And you know, it's a building that's never quite rocked like other places. And I think I said to you, it's weird. The one time it really rocked was just before Ty Domi turned the series around with his cheap shot on Scott Niedermeyer with the last minute against the New Jersey Devils. I was there with a guy named Brian Spear. We were working for The Score. And then we would go back to the station on King Street afterwards to do post game. And Brian now is a producer for Hockey Night in Canada. And it got so loud and we're looking, going, man, this is really neat. Then boom. Ty Domi hits Niedermeyer. All hell breaks loose, and the Leafs end up losing the series. Domi gets suspended, yada, yada, yada. So I think Leaf fans are kind of saying, wow, COVID for a couple of years, we're learning something about ourselves and the potential, you know, if everybody's not hanging in the Air Canada Club or wherever you hang and is out there and being vocal about what home ice advantage can mean.
No, I'm really happy you brought that up. That crowd was awesome tonight. I mean, the team gave them tons of reasons to feel that way and to be celebrating. They're chanting Andre at Vasilevsky. They're chanting Steven or Stamkos. I would say be a little bit careful with that. You don't want to poke the bear too much there. But I absolutely love to see it. I love to see the building rocking like that. And Gordo, I cannot wait to be down there with you on Wednesday. Fun stuff tonight, of course. Thanks so much to our producer, Sam McKee, who you think we were bullish on the Leafs, both of us taking them in seven. He took them in five. He said Leafs in five. Ooh. So a 5-0 win. That's a pretty good omen for him so far. As I mentioned, Brent Gutty, Gord Stellick here, wrapping up what was a shutout win for the Leafs in the first game of their first round series against the Lightning. They're up 1-0 after a 5-0 win at home. Series picks back up on Wednesday. Gord and I will be down there. Thanks so much for listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.